he told us, said, you know something, I finally just resigned to the fact that it's just going to be cold and snowy and it's going to be icy in northeast Wyoming, and that's just the way it is. And Jeff said, well, I'm not having that. I said, I'm not going to have that. So it was in December, middle of December or January, and Jeff called me on the phone. And he said, hey, you know what I'm doing? I said, I don't know what you're doing, Jeff, because you never knew. He said, I'm golfing with your brother. I said, what? He said, yeah, we're out on the golf course at Upton. No, no, it was nice. At Upton, they were outside golfing. Yeah, at Upton, they were golfing, and they were having a good time. And I said, how's that work? And he said, well, he told me what our other friend said, and he said, you know something, I'm not going to have that. So he had a wonderful winter golfing. And he said, the minute you get to the turnoff where we lived, the minute you got to that turnoff, it turned into the Klondike. It was snow, cold, ice. And he was in four-wheel drive, and it was just tough. And he said, that guy got what he said. But Jeff, he got to play golf all winter. So, okay, open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Yep. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. You know, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. See, that Jesus said that. That means there's nothing impossible to you if you can just believe. Nothing is impossible. You're eating jerky in church. You creep. You don't get a gold star. When Jesus said, all things are possible. Sometimes I wonder if we spend enough time thinking about these things. You know, sometimes we look at the challenges in life and we think, man, how can we even attack that? How can we even do that? And I found out that the time that you're truly going to operate in faith is when you're looking to Him. It's when you get out so far on the ice till you know you can't go back, but you're going to break through. And you need somebody to save you. And Jesus is the only one that can do it. He wants us to go out there where we can't handle it. See, here's the thing. If we can handle the project, then where's the faith in that? You know, too many times we'll look at challenges, we'll say there's a financial, some kind of a financial project somebody wants to do, and they say, okay, I need a number. They get the number and they go look at the checkbook and they say, well, we can't do that. Well, you couldn't do that before anyway. But if you say, we got a project, let's look to Jesus, then guess what happens? He has miracle finances available to you that you haven't even dreamed of. People will just come out of nowhere to help meet that need. And you won't have to ask anybody for it. You won't have to con anybody for it. You won't have to do any yard sales. One of my biggest pet peeves is churches doing yard sales. One time, a guy drove up to the church and he said, here, I got some junk for Jesus. I You can't believe how bad I wanted to just take that junk and throw it back in his pickup. It's okay to have yard sales. If you want to help in a church project or something, you want to help somehow like that, it's okay to have a yard sale. Go have that yard sale at your house and take the money and go give it to Jesus. But don't take your junk and give it to Jesus. That's not glorifying to him. You may have a health challenge that may seem insurmountable. But Jesus says, all things are possible to him that believeth. You know, the doctors, I'm starting to believe, are the last people you want to listen to. They come out and they give these people these horrible diagnoses, you know, and they put a name on it, and this name is impossible to pronounce, and it just sounds terrible. And then sometimes my real pet peeve is they'll even give them a certain amount of days or months. And I've seen people that have been given these, you know, say the doctor say you got 3 months, and they'll zero in on that date. And it's almost like you cannot do anything to get them persuaded. The doctor gave them something to believe in that they've locked into, and it's almost like they could be pretty good till a week before that date, and it's almost like they race downhill to meet that day. It's a horrible thing. Doctors play God all the time. They need to stop. But Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Now let's turn over to Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now this is a interesting verse. Almost everybody knows about these three verses. I mean, you talk, almost even a lot of regular denominational people know these verses. And Kenneth Hagin formed his whole ministry on these verses. But what Jesus did just before that in verse 12, that on tomorrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Well, they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus made a whip and cleaned out the temple, chased some pastors out of the temple. And the disciples did a curious thing. They told Jesus about that fig tree, said that thing is dead. They had to remind him about that tree. They had to bring it to his head. You know what, Jesus, he said something to that tree and he never looked back. You can't find anywhere in there about Jesus talking about that tree or even thinking about that tree until his disciples came and told him what happened. I've gotten to notice some things. I've noticed when we pray for people that we don't, you know, sometimes people have a prayer request and they'll be from a different state, or somebody say, pray for this person. And we pray for that person and we go on about our day, and then they call us back with a praise report. Say, hey, he's okay. What happened? We did just what Jesus did. We said something and we went about our business. Now that's one thing to say about somebody. You know, if we pray for somebody, they're in another state or another county, and you know, we're not looking at them all the time. It's not exactly the same when you're praying for somebody who you see all the time, or maybe yourself. But it's still possible. And this is where verses 22, 23, and 24 come into play. There's been a lot of pressure put on people to believe, but they haven't been told to focus on the three things that Jesus talked about the most. In verse 23, he says, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. Jesus only mentioned believing once. But he talked about saith what you say three times. Now, we all know that the Word of God is the seed, and we're supposed to sow that Word. So when we pray the Word of faith, we planted a seed. And where the people have a big challenge is they'll go tear their garden up, you know. They'll be in the atmosphere of the Word of faith. They'll be in here. We'll pray. We'll agree. And they'll go out there and dig their little garden up. How do they do that? By going out there and saying things that are contrary to what they prayed. See, we're supposed to, when we plant our seeds in our garden, we're supposed to go out there, we're supposed to water them, we're supposed to watch over them. How do we, you know, water and watch over our seeds? Well, by keeping our confession the same. Don't come in here and say, praise God, God supplies all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I agree with that. I'm standing for finances. And then go out there and say, I'm so broke I can't pay attention. I'm never going to have enough money to meet the bills at the end of the month. You see how that works? You can't say one thing in here and another thing out there and expect to have a positive result. In fact, James calls that a double-minded man. You know, one minute he's up, one minute he's down. Our confession has to be the same. And if you don't know what to say, don't say anything. Go to the Bible and find out what to say. But for crying out loud, don't say anything negative about your situation. Especially, people fall for this all the time. They'll go to the doctor. Doctor will give them a diagnosis. They say, okay, you got cancer. And they'll go home and say, well, I have cancer. What'd they do? They just accepted it. They just received it as their own. And then they'll run around talking about it. Say, well, my cancer is back. Or my cancer is doing this. Or my cancer is doing that. Don't claim it. Don't. And then there's some that actually revel in it. They live for the next diagnosis. You know, it's like they're going to get some kind of sympathy out of it. They live for the next catastrophe. They live for the next sickness. You know, they live for the next prescription. They go down and they talk about all the different pills that they're taking, all the different diseases they got. And then they want you to pray for them. You know, it's like sometimes I just tell people, I said, man, you need to stop doing what you're doing. But they won't. And then even worse, sometimes people think it's God's will for them to be sick, have a disease. Some people think it's actually God's will that he's going to get some kind of glory out of their disease. Well, if it's God's will for you to have the disease, then you stop going to the doctor, because obviously you're going against his will if you're trying to get rid of it. See, we got to get our thinking right. And the only way we can get our thinking right is to get our spirits right by the Word of God. Every time God did something amazing with a man in the Bible, he changed his vocabulary. It's strange how we change when we change our vocabulary. One of the hardest lessons I learned was, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're 100% right. If you don't think you can do something, there's no sense in even trying to do it, because you're not going to get it done. If you think you can do something, you're unstoppable. I was watching Larry Bird playing basketball, and that guy was clumsy. He's one of the greatest basketball players of all time. And he just looks so out of place out there. I mean, there's superb athletes that he was playing against, and these guys feared him. These guys could run faster, they could jump fast, higher, they could do everything more graceful than anything he did, but they couldn't beat him. Because he thought he could do it. He thought he could win. See, when a guy gets his mind set on the Word of God and decides that he really can do all things through Christ, what strengthens him, he becomes a special kind of force in this world that not the devil fears that. The devil wants you to think that you can't do stuff. He doesn't want you to ever have the idea that all things are possible to you. He doesn't want you to think that if you take a step in faith, you can win. But that's what Jesus wants us to do. In fact, he wants you to tackle things that are impossible. And the reason he wants you to attack the impossible things, because if it's impossible for you to do in the natural, it'll take his help for you to get it done, And then he gets the glory. So don't be afraid of those daunting tasks. But remember, we have to keep our tongue under control. We can't just go walking around saying anything that we want. There's some things that need to leave your vocabulary. People walking around saying they can't afford this, they can't afford that, they can't afford this all the time. In the natural, under your own abilities, you may be right. But you're not supposed to be looking at yourself. You're supposed to be looking to Jesus. Remember, he said he'd meet all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, that doesn't give you a license to be stupid. That doesn't mean you go get a loan at the bank to buy a $120,000 pickup. See, I've watched people fight this. They wanted everybody to look at them and see how blessed they were so that they could fit in. So they go buy, they go get a loan for a big house, they get a loan for a big pickup, they get a loan for all the toys so everybody can see how cool they are. And then people will kind of look down on somebody that's running around in an old used pickup. Who has more freedom? Who has more liberty? Somebody driving an old used pickup that's paid for? Maybe living in a smaller house or a small trailer house that's paid for? Or somebody that has a big fancy house that they're paying, making payments on for 30 years? And a pickup that will be completely wore out before they get it paid for? Who has liberty? See, there's a lot of people that have been called to go into the mission fields, go called to do different things, and they want to do stuff, they want to be used, and then they'll have an opportunity. And they'll say, I can't do that. Why? Because I've got a mortgage I got to pay for. I got a pickup I got to pay for. I got bills I got to pay for. And I can't do that. So what they've done is they've got themselves into a spot where they can't be effective in the kingdom of God. Not as effective as they could be. So we need to not worry about how other people may see us. We need to focus on how God sees us. He'll get us where we need to be. Look at John chapter 14, and we'll stop with this. John chapter 14, verse 12. You know, I had a lot of time on my hands, and I was studying by myself a lot. And I had always had this idea that if Peter or Paul could do something, I should be able to do it. And I'd ask preachers, and they'd say, oh, you know, those guys were apostles. They had a special anointing. They had... And I thought, man, I didn't know how to answer that. But it didn't sit right in my spirit. And I kept studying and I kept asking questions and I kept asking people. And I'd see some preacher do something on TV. And I'd say, why can't we do that? And Somebody says, that guy's got this special anointing. And I'd buy a book by them, and I'd read it, and they'd say, well, we paid the price. And I'd think, man, what do I got to do? How many days do I got to fast? How many hours do I got to pray? What do I got to do to get to do stuff like this? One day I was reading my Bible, and I was in John. I really love the book of John. John chapter 14, verse 12. And this is in red, so that's Jesus' word saying it. So I put a lot of weight on that. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Right there. That did two things to me. That took all the religious pressure off of me to be good enough to try to earn something, to try to be anointed enough to do something, to try to be something, to try to whatever. It took the pressure off of me and it put it on Jesus. And he gave us the directions right there. He said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. All we got to do is do the asking. He does the doing. He gets the glory. And he didn't say anything in there about you spending 15 hours on your knees, fasting until your ribs pop out, praying in tongues till your tongue turns to sandpaper. He didn't say anything about that. He said, take his name. If you believe him, you believe his word, you take his name and you put it out there, he does the doing, and guess what happens? Things change. There's a lot of traps for people in this world. And in this day and age, we're really, really, really going to have to pay attention. We're really going to have to be led by Holy Spirit. Our world is getting attacked with AI, artificial intelligence. It's going to be even more and more. It's going to be all over. It's going to be in your face. And it's going to seem right. But here's the thing about artificial intelligence. It's not by the Spirit. It has no soul. Your Spirit will lead you through this. You're going to have to stop and take some time every once in a while to just check things, you know, because not everything is going to be right. It might sound good, but it's not going to be right all the time. So we're just going to have to go through this time really, really relying on Holy Spirit. He will guide us. He's been sent here to show us and guide us. The Bible calls it a paraclete. That's a helper and a comforter. And he'll be here for us all the time because the Bible says he would never leave us nor forsake us. And one thing that you need to understand is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will always agree with the Word. We're going to have to check everything with the Word. They will never disagree. Neither one of the three will ever go against the word. So if something seems really, really good, but it doesn't line up with what God said in his word, stop. We have a warning light inside of us. We need to listen to that. Sometimes it'll say no. Sometimes it'll say go. Sometimes it'll say stop. His name is Holy Spirit. He will guide us through whatever we need to get to. And he'll let us know that nothing is impossible to us. Amen? We better stop there. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything. Father, you sent your Son here, and he died on the cross for us, and he came back to life, and he sent Holy Spirit here to dwell in us, and you gave us your word, and you told us that all things are possible to those that believe. It may be impossible to man, but with God, all things are possible. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.